everybody. This is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It was quite the process. Either way you want to slice this. With the Broncos getting Sean Payton, all of that. We're going to get into more of it throughout the day today. Joining me now, who better to talk to about it than Ryan Edwards of KOA. Ryan, my man, boy, this was a roller coaster there for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt, man. And remarkably, we never really got anything from the Broncos during this, right? The roller coaster was all based on the reporting and sourcing that was around the league and we had here locally. Broncos really never said anything, and that was always kind of a weird sort of dynamic with, I think, some of the fans and the media, is the media reporting on what we're hearing, and the fans are like, yeah, but the Broncos aren't saying anything. So how, you know, like, in the end, it's like, well, if you just go, like, from A to B, the Broncos started their hiring process, they hired Sean Payton because that was one of the top candidates, then yeah, it wasn't a roller coaster. But for us, for everybody else, man, yeah, this was one of the weirdest hiring cycles I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, there were so many different reports. And so, Ryan, I got to ask you about it. You see Adam Schefter tweet essentially that Sean Payton was kind of their guy all along. That's who they wanted. And then you see Ian Rapoport, who I know you have a great relationship with, tweeted out that basically, you know, the Broncos wanted Harbaugh. They were waiting on D'Amico Ryans. And then kind of went back to Sean Payton. So kind of two major NFL reporters with two pretty different tweets.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is whenever you get a head coaching hiring, it's always the guy we wanted all along, right? I mean, so first of all, you just have to acknowledge that was always going to be the thing said, and even when we have the press conference, that's what they're going to say. Oh, we like Sean Payton from the very beginning. This was the guy that we highly coveted. You know, we just really needed to figure out the draft compensation with the Saints and what he wanted and so on and so forth. So yeah, some of that could be true. I mean, in the sense that you're always talking and keeping touch with these candidates and you're communicating with them and on what you're looking for, those kinds of deals. But he was not the number one guy. So I'll just go ahead and, you know, that's nonsense. He really was in the mix with a couple of other candidates, including Jim Harbaugh, who I believe was their number one, and D'Amico Ryans, who they really, really liked and definitely had interest in. The report as far as from a Rap about them going back to D'Amico Ryans yesterday, I'm pushed back on that one a little bit. But I'd say in general, they had interest in all of these candidates. They would have hired any one of these three candidates. They felt that strongly about them. But in the end, they really wanted it to be a pretty solid, very strong culture-building hire, and that's why they went with Sean.
Well, and that's what makes sense, too. If all three of those guys were all three the favorites, then you'd probably go the route of, what, I don't have to give up any draft picks for that guy. So, it worked out this way for Payton because Harbaugh staying in Michigan, and then, of course, D'Amico Ryans, it all makes sense in Houston with his family being there, with his relationship or with his playing career there and such. So, interesting stuff. How do you feel about this move, Ryan, with Sean Payton, the draft picks, giving all that up? Some of his interesting history, too, with the Saints, the way he left the Saints, all of that. How are you feeling today about the hire?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. I mean, first of all, the draft compensation is great. I honestly expected that the Broncos were going to have to give up a lot more, and maybe through the process of playing this thing out, allowed for the price tag to go down a little bit. Early on in the process, as we understand it, the Saints were looking for that John Gruden deal, a couple of firsts, maybe a couple of seconds, some money in the process, and the Broncos just don't have it. They can't do that. And so I do like that eventually the price tag went down. You get a first this year, which is, again, borderline a second, and you're swapping second and third picks yet next year. I honestly, it couldn't have been really any better in that respect, especially, like I said, based on what I thought was going to happen. But I like it. I like Sean Payton. I think he's one of those guys. Again, he's considered one of the, you know, innovators on the offensive side of the ball. You talk to a lot of former players. They really love the way he leads. He's very fiery. He's certainly going to be very discipline-oriented, something the Broncos certainly were lacking when you're leading the league in penalties last year. I think he's going to have a plan for things. It always felt like, and I'm in no direct defense to Nathaniel Hackett, but it always felt like they were working very hard, but we'd still see the same result every single week. You know, it still seemed like in-game we'd see these mistakes or these decisions, and you're like, well, wait a minute, didn't you work all week? I was doing the show Broncos Country tonight down there at the facility, and we'd look across the way and the lights are on. I know they're there working, but it's like, yeah, you still are doing the same things over and over again. So we know for Sean Payton that they're going to have a better plan, at least on game day. And I think that overall, that's just going to impact the entire organization.
Ryan Edwards joining us from KOA, talking all things Sean Payton and the Broncos, what's next with Russell Wilson, all of that going forward. One more thing on the reporting side of it, too. That with Rappaport and Schefter, what's amazing to me, it's like, if Schefter's correct, then you look at it and go, wow, Greg Penner is a boss, man. I mean, he played this thing beautifully, and maybe that's why the Saints came down from what we were hearing about two first-round picks. And if Rappaport is 100% right, then I go, well, he's kind of clunky in this. He's a rookie owner, I suppose. So maybe as you kind of alluded to, maybe the truth is somewhere in between all of that.
I really do think it is, honestly. Like, they started the negotiations in earnest, I would say, late last week into the weekend with the Saints. So the whole point about them going back to DeMeco Ryans yesterday before it all happened, I push back on that just a little bit because they've been working with Sean Payton's people. They've been working with Sean Payton with the Saints. It felt like they were trying to dot I's, cross T's. They were trying to make sure they had everything in line. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you didn't have interest other places. And what if what if it's a snag? And I think as a business person, which again, Greg Penner and that group, they're primarily background in business, I think you want to have a couple of hedges in place. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And certainly, as you've seen, I think my belief is their number one guy was Jim Harbaugh. Well, they thought they could just throw a bunch of money at him and he'd be excited to come to the Broncos. Well, it's not that simple. It's not that simple in the NFL. And same thing with DeMeco Ryans, right? You know, I think that they had genuine interest, and I think it was mutual. DeMeco Ryans had interest in the Broncos. But to the process of all this, decisions were made, and it's not just an A to B conversation. There are other factors when it comes to it. So I think for Sean Payton, you were negotiating that, but in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I want to make sure that everybody's happy here, because if we hit a snag, what is our other option if Sean Payton then says, you know what, I'm just going to go back to Fox. This is too much.
What does this mean for the other Payton? What does this mean for George Payton?
That's a good question. I said coming into the process that if it was Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton, it's probably bad news for George. Mm. And that's I still hold firm on that. I feel like they're going to let George Payton stick around at least through the draft. I would hope. See, I'm a bigger fan of George Payton than some in the media. I think he does a tremendous job, especially with scouting and talent evaluation and roster construction. I think he does a lot of good things. I think he's got a little bit of a blind spot for hiring coaches. But you know what? Hey. That's fine. That's just not what position you probably should have been put in the first place. But it was you had the trust and all the things that were happening, and they needed to turn to him. And so that's just the results. You hired Nathaniel Hackett, and it was a complete miss. I think we're still learning whether Russell Wilson was a complete miss. And the decision to give him an extension was ownership-driven, more so than George Payton. So I like George Payton a lot. I hope he sticks around, but you would be shocked if Sean Payton wanted full control or as much control as possible of all the processes. And this ownership group paying him, $17 million per, I sort of feel like they're going to have to turn it over to him at some point.
Yeah, and that's, like you said, if it was going to be Harbaugh or Payton, did it make sense to have an official general manager? Because I think Greg Penner even said it when they did their press conference after moving on from Hackett. You know, I think there was a question, Ryan, was like, okay, well, who's the coach going to answer to? And Penner said, well, he'd answer to me. So my question is, you get into whatever round they have a pick in the third round or something. If Sean Payton wants a tight end and George Payton wants a right tackle, what are we doing? I mean, if we're flipping a coin there, or what, and then you go to Greg Penner and say, hey, which one of us gets what we want? That's why I think it's kind of awkward.
It is, and especially under these circumstances, and that's why you'd think maybe Sean Payton wants to bring in like a Ryan Pace, somebody that he's worked with before, and that would be the direction, because then they see things already on the same page. But that doesn't mean that George Payton can't adapt and under the circumstances and feel things out. I do think that there's a little bit of a shifting of power, certainly, in this process, but that doesn't mean that George Payton can't be part of the process going forward. And I certainly hope he can. But like I said, it's just a sort of a matter of, okay, well, if Sean Payton, as you kind of perfectly put it, if Sean Payton wants it a certain way, at this point, the ownership group, they are the ones that hired him. They did not hire George Payton, and that I think that dynamic might play out.
Interesting stuff, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I was saying this at the beginning, Ryan. It's like 5 years ago, if you would have told me that somehow the Broncos were going to end up with Sean Payton, I think all of us would have been like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds great. I suppose just the way things have been the last year and then leading into this, it has been, like we said to start the segment, quite the roller coaster all the way through it. And all this depends, I mean, a lot of it, at least for next season, depends on what number three does, what Russell Wilson can do. And we know he was in favor of this. Ryan, he didn't call any other coaches, right? He called Sean Payton and talked to him about what it would be like to have him as his head coach.
Yeah, I don't think that was it was reported. I don't know if it was a heavy influence on what they were doing. They already knew Russell Wilson like Sean Payton when Russ, a couple of years ago, had his agent put out the list of teams that he'd love to play for. The New Orleans Saints with Sean Payton was one of them. So we already knew that there was interest there. I think the ownership group, I made the point going into it that I think Russell Wilson should have a bit of a role, but the way that they kind of viewed it is like, we're going to find somebody that has the best plan for him and we're going to go for it. And I guess in the end, you're factoring him in either way. But yeah, this is really good news for Russell Wilson. I know there's debate about fit in scheme and so on and so forth, but I think in the end, what Sean Payton has shown, whether it's Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, any of these quarterbacks, he's shown he gets the best out of them. He's improved every single one of those prospects, every single one of those players. Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0, and he was not running the same things that Drew Brees was, right? And what we know with Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame career. Those are things that Russell Wilson probably can't do, not all of them, but that doesn't mean that you can't still function with some of those and that Sean Payton is going to find the best possible way to work with your scheme. I mean, look at Taysom Hill. I mean, Taysom Hill is one of those guys that's a gadget guy, right? But Sean Payton believed in him, and he showed some signs where he could make him work, even if he's not the most polished quarterback. He can find ways to make him functional. So for me, all the people that are kind of like, well, I don't know about the fit, you know, I think they'll figure that out, and I'm not too worried about it.
Does some of the stuff change with Russ, you know, the gimmicks, the Let's Ride, the office? Do you see some of that stuff changing a little bit now that Sean Payton's in control?
I do. Yeah, I sort of feel like, and you saw a little bit of that evolution happening with him somewhere, I don't know, a few weeks into the season. I say shortly after the Colts game, he sort of died back the Let It Ride or Let's Ride stuff. And, you know, I mean, I sort of think that there were some more behind-the-scenes sort of tweaks to the way he had his staff around the building towards the end. And I feel like when the dynamic, we talked about dynamics, right? When Russell Wilson, they traded for him and Nathaniel Hackett here was here. Well, the dynamic shifted to Russell Wilson's in charge. And that, man, that is just not the way you can run that. The coach has to have some power there. And Nathaniel Hackett, I think, was just kind of put in a bad spot with that. Again, you make the trade, right? You trade for Russell Wilson. He was on board with it. But you also are trading for the entourage. You're trading for the brand that is Russell Wilson. But now, with Sean Payton here, and this was a decision by this ownership group, I think the power shift is back the other way. I think it's now back to the head coach. And that's probably where it should be the whole time anyways. And that I think, ultimately, through that sort of humbling process last year for Russell Wilson, mixed with the fact that Sean Payton is who he is, I think Russell's going to fall in line.
Is Vic Fangio going to be the defensive coordinator for the Broncos?
Ah, man. He could be. I don't know, man. Talking to Dave Logan yesterday, he definitely is. That's a conversation that's being had. And you got to think about it in terms of also like this, where there's no salary cap on the coaching side. And we talk about that all the time with the head coach, but it's the same thing with the coordinators. There's no salary cap. They pay Vic Fangio, you know, $15 million if he wants to be here as the defensive coordinator. It's not a problem. So if Sean Payton says he's the guy and Vic Fangio says I'd rather coach here than San Francisco or Miami, I can see it happening. And I think Broncos fans for the most part will be okay with it. I think the issues were more about game management with Vic than anything, right? I mean, we all know he's a brilliant defensive mind. He's been doing this for a very long time. He's got familiarity with a lot of the players that are on that team. So in a lot of ways it would fit, especially if that's what Sean Payton is looking for. But again, you know, you should have a conversation, I think, internally. Jerome Everett did a good job too. So I don't think you should be so desperate to kick him out of the building. It's just a matter of, okay, what fits with what we're trying to do here? What kind of defense is Sean looking for? And then we kind of go from there. But, yeah, I mean, it's You ask the question, I don't think it's impossible, no.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. I mean, this whole thing, man, it's been a lot of fun. And then the idea that you bring back your former head coach, what, a year and a half later or whatever, to come be your defensive coordinator, that's crazy. How much of the old staff, last one for you, Ryan, how much of the old Saints staff do you see resurfacing and showing up in Denver as far as the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, that kind of thing? Will Peyton call on some of his old buddies?
I think so. I mean, we'll see, right? But if I had to guess, you know, Joe Lombardi was just released from the Chargers as their OC, so it would make some sense to bring him back into the fold. Pete Carmichael, maybe even Doug Marrone. I mean, it would make some sense to bring those guys back in, especially because you are wanting to. I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure to win this year. Like, this isn't one of those things where Sean Payton has taken over a team that was bad, 5-win team, but they're also expecting to be right back into the playoff conversation as soon as this year. It's not like D'Amico Ryans with the Texans, where, hey, gonna be a young roster, got a new quarterback, you got some time. That's the opposite here. You got to have pressure to win right away, so you need guys that see things the same way you do. So I would not be surprised whatsoever if for him, he's like, I got to work with my guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball, so give me these coaches and let's go.
Ryan Edwards, KOA, man, appreciate you popping on with us. Love getting your insight, your thoughts on this whole thing, and we'll see. We'll start to see what this team's going to look like under new coach Sean Payton. Man, I appreciate you, my friend.
Anytime, brother.
All right, Ryan Edwards, KOA, great guy there. So he's kind of saying, Angel, he's kind of saying it's a mixed bag, that Rappaport, his report indicating that perhaps Sean Payton wasn't the number one choice, he's saying that seems true. But he's also kind of backing off on the, I don't know that they doubled down on D'Amico Ryans yesterday. He's saying he doesn't know about that one. But the fact is that it's, odds are it was Jim Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, and then Sean Payton. But they liked all three of them. Well, if they got to pick one of those guys, if they got their pick and either one of them was going to go, they would have picked Jim Harbaugh or D'Amico Ryans, because it wouldn't have cost you any draft picks at all. But we know what happened. Harbaugh went to Michigan went back to Michigan, and D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans. All right, we'll take a short break. Angel, when we come back, let's do the good, the bad, the ugly from last night, bleeding into the morning a little bit. We'll get to that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.